Im Yirtz Hashem, we're going to start learning Perek Shloisho She'ochlu on Brochus Daf Mem Hei. And this Perek is primarily going to be discussing the halachas of Birchas Zimun, what we call Mezumen. When three people eat together or more, then instead of everybody saying Birchas Hamazon on their own, they group together and they declare at the beginning that we are all together, Nevorich in plural form, we're going to together praise Hashem and say Birchas Hamazon. And that's irrespective of whether everyone is going to say the Birchas Hamazon on their own or not. There's the introduction of we are doing this together, that is the Birchas Zimun. Says the Mishnah, Shloisho she'ochlu ke'achas chayovim lezamin, three men from Klal Yisrael who are eating together, there is a chiyuv that they have to do the zimun, they have to bench together. And we'll find out in the Gemara what the sources for this are in the Psukim. Now it's to be taken for granted that if one is eating something that's osa, that one's not allowed to eat, then according to many poskim, one is not allowed to make Birchas Hamazon, and it goes without saying that you cannot be called a group eating together that are going to praise Hashem together when you've just engaged in a meal that's an Aveira. So there's no Zimun if the eating is done ba'Aveira. So things that are clearly treif, macholis asuris, of course there's no Zimun, and probably no Birchas Hamazon either. The Mishnah is now going to list to us two lists of things that are eaten where there's some chiddush. There's some. It's not to be taken for granted either that one can do Zimun or that one cannot do Zimun. And there's going to be one list of things that even though they look like they may be inappropriate, nonetheless you can do Zimun. And then there's going to be another list of things that if one eats them, they are osur and one is not allowed to make Zimun. Says the Mishnah, Ochal Demai. We know there's a halacha that if one buys fruits, vegetables, produce from an Am Haaretz, and we can comfortably assume, or the Chachomim told us that we should assume, that they have not taken all the Trumas and Maestras appropriately, and the halacha is that one has to take Trumas and Maestras oneself. Somebody who bought food from an Am Haaretz and did not take these Trumas and Maestras, that's Ochal Demai. We know that one has to take with fruits, vegetables. We're not going into all the halachas of Zeraim, but one has to first take truma gedola. That has to be given to a kohen. A small amount of what's left, 10%, is Maaser Rishon given to the Levi. The Levi has to then take 10% of the Maaser Rishon and give it to a kohen. That's called Trumas Maaser. Here we have a case where Maaser Rishon shenitlo trumosi, the 10% of Maaser Rishon has already been separated, and of that 10% was given to the kohen. The problem is that truma gedola has not yet been taken. Now it's true that if one doesn't take truma gedola, it's tevel. But here we're talking about a case. The Gemara is going to explain. We're talking about a case where there was some loophole. He took Trumas Maaser before the stage that he was Bechlal Mechuyev to take Truma Gedola, where he had not yet done the threshing of the produce, it was still in the chaff, and therefore there's no Chiyuv of Truma Gedola yet. But nonetheless, you have here produce that Truma Gedola has not been taken, and this looks like an Isser, it looks like it's inappropriate to eat this. Maaser Sheni Vehektish Shenivdu. If one wants to eat Maaser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim, one has to redeem it. How does one redeem it? Then one says that the Kedusha of the fruits are going to apply to some coins, and from those coins one will then buy food in Yerushalayim, and the original fruits can then be eaten outside Yerushalayim. But the Torah said that you have to add a fifth. If the fruits are worth 20 shkolim, then you have to redeem it for 25 shkolim. Or hektish, and if to the same applies with hektish, which also when one redeems the kedusha, then one has to add a fifth. And this person, he redeemed it, but he did not add the fifth. Vashamash she'ochal kezais, and a waiter that was eating with two other people, he was not sitting down with them. Naturally, waiters don't sit down, they're walking in and out. He ate a kezais, and the Mefarshim discuss why the kezais is mentioned here. It seems that at the end of the Mishnah we'll discuss how much a person has to eat to be able to do Zimun. And the Mefarshim discussed that. But either way, this waiter, he's not really part of the group. So I may have thought that he cannot do Zimun with them. Vahakuti, and the Kutim were these questionable group of people that annexed themselves to Klal Yisrael and kept some of the mitzvahs, and for a certain amount of time they were considered as part of Klal Yisrael, until it became apparent that they were idol worshippers, and then the Chachamim said that they have the halachas of Goyim, and we don't consider them as Yisrael Bechlal. But there was a stage where they were annexed onto Klal Yisrael. In all these cases, mezamnin olov. Even though there's some questionable, some issue with it, nonetheless, one is allowed to do zimun in all these cases. However, says the Mishnah, ochal tevel, if one eats tevel, which is food that has not been taken trumas or maisers, or maiserishin sheloinut lot trumasoi, or somebody who has maiserishin and did not take the 10% and give it to the kohen, or in the case of Maisasheni and Hektush, where one did not redeem it Bechlal and one ate it outside the parameters of Yerushalayim, Vashamish Sheochlu Pochis Mikazayis, or the waiter, the Shamish, that ate too little, he didn't eat a Kazayis, Vanochri, or a Gentile, a Goy, Ein Mezamnin Olov, one, in those cases there is no Zimun. Continues the Mishnah, Noshim va'avodim uktanim ein mezamnim aleihem. If one of the three, the Mishnah started saying, Shloisha she'ochlu k'achas. If one of the three was either a woman, or a slave, or a minor, ein mezamnim aleihem, they cannot join in for Zimun. Says the Mishnah, Ad kamo mezamnin, how much does a person have to eat to be able to do Zimun? And here there's a question, does it mean that you can join Zimun? Or does everybody agree that to join Zimun, a Kazayis is enough? And the question here is, in order to say the Zimun, how much do you have to have eaten? Ad Kazayis, the Tanakama say, a Kazayis of bread. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ad Kabeitza, Rabbi Yehuda says that the bread has to be the size of an egg, which is more than that of a Kazayis. Says the Gemara, Mino hani mili. What's the source that three people together, they bench Zimun? There's some virtue of three people together making a bracha, blessing and praising Hashem. Omer b'asi d'omar kro, it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Gadlu l'Hashem iti. Let's greaten, let's speak about the godless of Hashem. Gadlu in plural tense. You too should be megadl, should greaten Hashem's name, iti with me being the third one. So you see that when it comes to praising Hashem, there's a virtue of three. We will greaten Hashem's name, we will glorify Hashem's name together. Rebavohu brings a different pasuk in the Chumash. Kishem Hashem ekro. I, an individual, will call Hashem's name. Havu goida leilukenu. And you should, the two of you, should join me to greaten Hashem's name. Here again we find there's a single person turning to a plural, turning to two, together making a group of three. Omer of Chanon bar Abba, Minayin lo'oine omein shelo yagbi akoi lo yoise min amavorich. What's the source that a person should not say omein in a tone, in a voice that is higher than that of the person who made the bracha? Shenemar, as it says, Gadlu Lashem, when we're saying omein, which is when we glorify Hashem's name, iti. You too, when you say omein to my bracha, it should be together with me. A togetherness means that you should do it in the same volume of tone and not to say the omein louder than my bracha. And that way there'll be a form of togetherness when praising Hashem. Omer Reb Shimon ben Pazi, it was common practice that there would be somebody who would read in the Torah, and then there would be a translator that would translate the psukim to the language of the people. So the Gemara says, Reb Shimon ben Pazi says, what's the source that the translator should not raise his voice higher than the one reading in the Torah? Shenemar Moshe yedabir, Moshe was speaking, ve'elokim ya'anenu b'kol, and Hashem was responding to Moshe with a voice. She'ein Talmud leimar b'kol, Why does the Pasuk have to say Hashem responded with a voice? Of course he responded with a voice. It would be enough if the Pasuk just said, Hashem ya'anenu. The Hashem Elukim ya'anenu, Hashem responded. What's the extra word Bekoil teaching us? Uma Talmud loymar Bekoil, Bekoilu shel Moshe. Hashem spoke in the same volume of tone as Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, of course, no one should think that Moshe was reading and Hashem was translating. No, it's the other way around. It's Hashem, so to speak, was reading, and Moshe, so to speak, was the translator. He was giving it over to Klal Yisrael. And that's how we're going to come on to the next Bryce, who's going to make Seder with that. Tanya Namiyachi, Eina Metargim Roshoi Lagbia Koilo Yoisim in Akoira. The translator should not raise his voice more than that of the person reading. In the event that the translator's voice is limited, he cannot raise his voice beyond a certain point. In that case, Kneged Akoira to be similar to the voice of the one reading, then the one who's reading should lower his voice in order that it should be on the same volume as the one translating. Of course, if Hashem would speak in the loudest voice he could, well, we wouldn't be able to hear it, but certainly Moshe Rabbeinu would not be able to translate it on that same volume. And therefore, when it says Hashem answered and spoke to Moshe on Moshe's voice, on the same level as Moshe, it's because Moshe could not raise his voice beyond what was humanly possible for Moshe, and Hashem came towards him and spoke on the same tone, so you see that the reader and the translator should be speaking on the same tone. Says the Gemara, Itmar, Shnayim she'ochlu ka'achas. What happens if two people are eating together? Now, if three people are eating together, we saw explicitly in the Mishnah, chayovin lezamin. There is a chiyuv to bench zimun. Whatever zimun is, we'll soon see in the Gemara. We have to bench zimun. If two people eat, it's clear there is no chiyuv lezamin. They are not mechuyuv, they do not have to say zimun. Are they allowed to say zimun? So, pligi, that was a machlekes Rav and Rabbi Yechanan. Chad Omar, one of the two, and on Amud Beis we'll see which one it was. One of them says, Imrotzu lezamin mezamnin. You're not mechuyev to do zimun. You want to be do zimun? Go ahead and do zimun. V'chad Omar, and the other one says, Imrotzu lezamin ein mezamnin. Zimun is only appropriate when there's three together. When there's less than three, then you're not a group, and since you're not recognized as a group, zimun is inappropriate. Tanan, we saw in our Mishnah, we're going to try and bring proof from our Mishnah to this discussion. If three are eating together, they are required, obliged to do zimun. So you see that three of them are mechuyev and zimun, and two are not. So you see from here that two don't do zimun. Says the Gemara, Hosam Chayva. The Mishnah is explicitly talking about when there's a chiyuv to do zimun, and there the chiyuv only applies to three, not to two. Hocha, in the discussion here, Rashus, we're discussing on whether they're allowed to do zimun. And the Mefarshim here discuss what was the Havamin of the Gemara to try and bring proof from this Mishnah. We know that the chiyuv is three, and we know the discussion is Rashus with two, and the Mishnah says explicitly chayovin. Why did you try and bring proof from the Mishnah just in order to refute it in this way? Continues the Gemara, we're going to try and bring proof to this question from a different Braisa. Toshima, Shloisho she'ochlu k'achas chayovin lezamin. If three were eating together, there's a chiyuv for them to do zimun, v'ein roshoin lechalik, and they're not allowed to split up into a smaller group than three, which means two of them on their own are not allowed to bench on their own. Shloishoin, shnayim loy. So you see here clearly that you're only allowed to do zimun when you have three. In the event that even doing two, you're allowed to do zimun, then what's wrong if they split up? The two that are left together, they can do zimun. They haven't lost anything. That's how Rashi explains the raya of the Gemara. And the truth is, Tosfos asks straight away that very good that in the event that two are allowed to do zimun, that you haven't affected the two, but why don't you explain the braisa that chayovin lezamin and they're not allowed to split up because of the number three? The third person, he's not got two, he's not doing zimun, he's not allowed to destroy his own zimun, and they are not allowed to rob him of his zimun either. So maybe that's why they have to do zimun. But not to suggest that if there was two lekatchila, that they are not allowed to, that they are or are not allowed to do zimun. And Tosfos actually says that the Toshema here is not a brisa in the text that we have here. Tosfos in the Dibra Maschil, you see, was geirus that the Gemara is actually bringing proof from a Mishnah on Daf Nun Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah there continues and says that if you have four eating together, also they should not split up. And that's where this Gemara is bringing proof from. In the event that two can do Zimun, then if you had four, why does the Mishnah there say they're not allowed to split up? They can split up, there'll be two groups of two, and according to the opinion that two can do Zimun, even though they're not Mechuyev to do Zimun, but they're allowed to do Zimun, then why can they not split up and do Zimun? And that's the proof of the Gemara. Says the Gemara, no, there's no proof from this Braisa or Mishnah. Shani hosom de kovu luhu choivo meikoro. Since when they started eating, there were a group of three, and three are mechuyev in zimun, then even in the event that had they been two, they would be allowed to do zimun, that's not a choiv, it's just a reshus. And now for them to split up, and to, as we saw in Tosfos, for example, you had four, and four, which is more than three, there's a chiyuv of zimun. If they're going to split up and have two groups of two, they're allowed to do zimun. But the zimun they're going to do is a zimun of roshus. And they're not allowed to be mafkia, they're not allowed to lose and rob themselves of the zimun of chiyuv in order to have a zimun of roshus. So you can't bring proof from there to what the halacha is with two initially. Says the Gemara, we'll try and bring proof from another brisa. Toshema, hashamish shohoyom mishamish al hashnaim. If you have a waiter that was serving two people, hariza oichali moim, we can assume that the two people, the people that are paying the waiter, they're okay and they want him to join with them in order to have a zimun. Afal pisha no nitnu leirushus, even though they did not explicitly tell the waiter, come eat with us, we can take it for granted that they want him to eat with them. Hoyam mishamish al hashleisha. If this waiter was serving three people, hareza eino eichelim moem, he's not allowed to join them in their meal, elim ke nitnu leirushus, unless they gave him explicit permission to eat with them. So what do you see from here? Why, if there's only two people and the waiter, can we take it for granted that the people want the waiter to join? Because they need a zimun. They want him to join for zimun. But if there were three without him, they don't need him for zimun. So unless they invite him, we cannot take it for granted that they want him to join. So you see clearly that having two is not enough. If two could do zimun, then even if there's only two people there, they don't need the waiter for zimun. Why should the waiter be able to join uninvited? Says the Gemara there also, it's no proof. Shani hasam, denichel lehu lemikveh lehu b'chayva. It could be that even if they were just two, they were allowed to do zimun. But they wanted to have the chiyuv of zimun, which is a much more higher level of zimun. And therefore, we can assume that they want this chiyuv, and therefore they allow him to eat, even though they didn't explicitly invite him. But we still do not have any proof, one way or another, whether two people on their own can do zimun. So we're going to try and bring another raya. Toshema, we learnt in the Braisa, noshim mezamnois la'atzmon. Even though we saw in the Mishnah that noshim, avodim and ktanim, cannot be mitztarif, they cannot be one of the group of zimun, but if there's a group of noshim, they are allowed to do zimun on their own. Va'avodim mezamnin la'atzmon. If you have a whole group of avodim, three avodim, they can also do zimun. Noshim v'avodim uktanim. If you have a group of also noshim, also avodim, also uktanim, imratzu lezamin ein mezamnin. They're not allowed to form a group in order to do zimun. Says the Gemara, v'homeo noshi katrei gavra damyon. It's clear to us that even if you have 100 women, there's no chiyuv for them to do zimun. There's no choivas zimun like we saw in the Mishnah. Shloisha she'ochlu biyachad chayovin nezamin, that does not apply to women. Nonetheless, if they want to do zimun, they're allowed to do zimun like we just saw in the Braisa. Noshim mezamnos la'atzmon. The Gemara says a group of women who are not mechuyev, well, that's as good as two men who are also not mechuyev. Uktoni, and we see noshim mezamnos la'atzmon, v'avodim mezamnin la'atzmon, and we see that even though they're not mechuyev in zimun, they're allowed to do zimun. So we can assume that two men, even though they're not mechuyev in zimun, they're allowed to do zimun. Says the Gemara, no. Shani hosom de'ikah de'is. When you have less than three, then you don't have enough people in order to have a gadlu l'Hashem iti. Rashi brings here, we're going back to that original pasuk. We need three. When you have three people praising Hashem, it's called a zimun. So it could be, in the case of the women, it's true that they don't have a chiyuv of zimun, but nonetheless, when they have three or more women, you have a gadlu l'Hashem iti. You have three, they're allowed to do zimun. But two men, where you don't have the gadlu l'Hashem iti, you don't have the minimum of three deos, three opinions, three perceptions of Hashem, three praises of Hashem bonding together, then you have no indication that you're allowed to do zimun. Now that we know that the main indicator, what allows us to do Zimun, is that you have three people, each one with their own mind. And that includes Noshim, proof being that when you have three or more women, they can do their own Zimun. It includes Avodim, proof being if you have more, three or more Avodim, they can do their own Zimun. If so, why does our Mishnah say that Noshim and Avodim cannot join in the Zimun? If you would assume that Noshim and Avodim are not called Deos, they're not the type of people, Bichlal, that can do Zimun, then I can understand they cannot do Zimun, they're not Mechuyev in Zimun, they cannot join a Zimun. But now that we know they can form their own Zimun, why can't they join a Zimun with the men? Says the Gemara, Shani Hosom Mishum Pritzusa. Zimun has to be when there's a bond of three deos that are praising Hashem. A type of bonding which is inappropriate is not a type of bonding that can praise Hashem together. Having men and women and avodim and minors all in one group, that lends itself to inappropriate behavior, and therefore it's a bonding which is inappropriate. That's not the way to do Gadlu Hashem Iti, and they cannot join Zimun. Continues the Gemara. Tistayim derav de Omar imrotzu lezamin ein mezamnin. We mentioned on Omad Aleph that there was an argument between Rav and Rabbi Yechanon whether two men, are they allowed to do Zimun or are they not allowed to do Zimun? And we don't know who said what. The Gemara is going to try and bring proof that it was Rav that says ein mezamnin. De Omar of Dimi bar Yosef Omar Rav, because it was said in the name of Rav, Shloisho she'ochlu ka'achas. Three people started a meal together. V'yotza echod mem l'shuk, and one of them went out to the marketplace before Birchas Hamozin. Koirin loy, we call him, or mezamnin olav. And as long as he's paying attention to us, we've made ourselves clear that we want a bench, and he's acknowledged that. He's with us when he's with us in thought, and he's looking at us while we're benching, and he's responding to us. Mezamnin olav, we can do the zimun. Tama de koirin loy. So you see that you can only do a zimun if you call him and he's responding to you. Ha'loi koirin loi. In the event that he's too far away and he's not responding, he's not part of you anymore, loi, you cannot do zimun. And this was said in the name of Rav. So you see that even though there are two remaining people who are in the Suda, they cannot do zimun. So you see that Rav says that two cannot do zimun. Says the Gemara, no, there's no proof from there. Shani hosom de'ikvul hu choyva mi'ikora. Like we saw before, over here, it was a group that started off as three. Since they were eating as three, there's already a chiyuv that they do a zimun of choyva. The zimun of choyva, you can only do if you have three. If he's not with you, then you cannot do a zimun of choyva. Elo tistayim d'Rabbi Yochanan hu d'omar imrotzo lezamin ein mezamnin. We're going to bring proof that it was actually Rabbi Yochanan that says that two together who are eating cannot do Zimun. It was said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Shnayim she'ochlu k'achas. Two people who ate together. Echod mem yoitza, b'birchas chaveiroi. If one of them benches, the other one can be yoitza with his friend's birchas hamozin. V'havinon bo, and when we were discussing this din of Rabbi Yochanan, we were trying to understand what Chiddush was Rabbi Yochanan trying to tell us. Tanina, we already learnt in a Braisa, Shoma v'loy ono, if somebody wants to be Yotza Brocha from his friend, and he heard his friend making the Brocha, but he did not answer Omin, nonetheless Yotza, he's still Yotza. So you see that a person can be Yotza Brocha from his friend. Va'omer Abzeira, and Abzeira explained, you know what the chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan was? Loimar she'ein birchas zimun beinem. It's true that a regular shemeya ka'ina Reuven is making a bracha, Shimon is listening, Shimon can be yitza, that's fine. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan said, that echod mehem yitza bebirchas chaveroi. Shimon is being yitza with Reuven's bracha. That's not Zimun. Zimun means we're bonding as a group, we have one representative, and we are making the bracha. It's not that I am being yitza with your bracha, we are all together making the bracha. You happen to be verbalizing it, but Zimun connects us that we're all making a collective bracha, not that I'm being yitza your bracha. That's how Rashi explains this. Testayim, so we have proof that it was Rabbi Yochanan that said that if you have three, there's a Zimun. If you have two, you cannot do Zimun. The most you can do is Shemea Ko'ina. One of them says the bracha, and the other one says Omein. If he doesn't say Omein, he's also yitza, but the other one can be yitza with the bracha of the first one. Oma le Rava bar Rav Huna. Le Rav Huna, v'horabonon d'osu mimarova, the chachomim that came from Eretz Yisrael. Omru, what did they say? Imrotzu lezamin, mezamnin. If two people are eating together and they want to do Zimun, they're allowed to do Zimun. My love, is it not to be taken for granted the Shmir Luhumir of Yechanon? We know that Rabbi Yechanon was the one that lived in Eretz Yisrael. Rav lived in Bovel. So the Chachomim that came from Eretz Yisrael and said the halacha that they two people can do Zimun, is it not to be taken for granted Rabbi Yochanan is the one that said that? In which case, it's a contradiction to the proof we just brought now that Rabbi Yochanan says that two people cannot do Zimun. Says the Gemara, Loi, Tishmielu mirav mikami denochis lebovel. It's true that Rav lived in Bovel later on, but before Rav came to Bovel, he lived in Eretz Yisrael. Those Chachomim that came with this halacha, they didn't hear it from Rabbi Yochanan, they heard it from Rav, and Rav is the one that holds that if two people want to do Zimun, they're allowed to. Continues the Gemara. Gufa. Omar Rav Dimi bar Yosef Omar Rav. Shlo yisho she'ochlu ka'achas. If three people started a meal together, v'yotza echod mem l'shuk, and one of them went to the marketplace and left them, Kairin loy, they call him, and in the event that they get his attention and he's at least focusing on them and responding, umzamnin olov, you can do Zimun that way. Omar Abaya, v'hu dekori lei v'oni. That's assuming that when they call him, he answers, he's responding to them. He does not need to come all the way back, but he has to be responsive. Omar Marzutra, v'le omron elo b'shleisha. This halach is true in the case that there were three, and one of them went away. Aval ba'asara, in the case that there were ten, and we know that, and we're going to learn later in the perek, that when 10 people ate together, the zimun is on an entirely new level. You actually say Elokeinu, something you don't say when there's just three. And over there, ad denaisi, in order for the zimun of 10 to be valid, that person who went to the marketplace has to come all the way back and sit with the group. It's not enough that he's looking from far and responding. Maskiflo Ravashi. Ravashi asked a question on this. Adarabba, ipcha mistabra. Logic would dictate that the opposite. Tisha, when you have 9 out of 10, nirin ka'asora, it looks like there's 10. It's a big group. When it comes to praising Hashem, it's a whole big group praising Hashem. If one of them is a little bit further away, okay, it's still all right. You should be able to do Zimun. Shnaim, but when you had 3 and there's only 2 left, ein nirin kashloisha, they don't look like a group of 3. Why there should it be okay that the person in the marketplace can respond from far away? He should have to be coming and sitting with them. So it should be 3 being gadlu l'Hashem iti in a more explicit way. That was Rashi's question. V'hilchas k'mar zutra, nonetheless, the loch is like k'mar zutra, that in the case of 3, they do not need to come. In the case of 10, he does have to come back. My tama, what's his logic? Kiven de boilad kure shem shemaim, since when you have 10, you're mentioning Hashem's name, botzir me'asora lav erech ara, it's inappropriate to bench and use Hashem's name in the zimun if you haven't got 10 people who are actually present and sitting together. Continues the Gemara. Omar Abaya, nekitinon shnayim she'ochlu ka'achas, if you have 2 people who are eating together, mitzvah lechalik, they should each make their own brachas. And that's l'katchila, that's the mitzvah. And Rashi says this is going not only on Birchas HaMozin, it's also referring on Birchas HaMaitzi, and this is a discussion in the Meforshim. But it's a mitzvah l'chalik. Tanya Namihochi, we also saw this in a Braisa. Shnaim Sha'ochlu Ka'achas, two that ate together. Mitzvah Lechalik, they should split up with their brochas and each one make their own independent brochas. Bamed Vorim Amurim, says the Braisa, when is that true? Kesheshneim Seifrim, when they're both learned people and experts in the text of the Birchas Hamazon and the brochas. Aval Echot Seifer, if one of them knows the brochas, Ve'echot Bur, and the other one is a boor, is ignorant, and he doesn't know how to make the brachas himself, Sofer Mavarich, the one that is learned should make the brachas, Ubur Yaitza, and the other one should say Amen Lekatchila, and he should be Yaitza with the brachas said by the one that knows how to make the brachas. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rava, Ha Milsa Amrita Ano, the halacha we're about to discuss, I said it, V'itz Amra, Nishmeid Rab Zeira, and in Eretz Yisrael, it was said, the same halacha was said in the name of Rab Zeira, who also agreed with me, Kavosi, like me, that what? Shlo Yisho She'ochlu Ka'achas, if you have three people that ate together, Echod Mafsik L'shnaim, if two of them have already finished eating, and they are ready to bench Zimun, and one of them is still in the middle of eating, it's a Derech Eretz, it's appropriate behavior that the one should wait a minute, let them bench Zimun, they can, and then that one wants to carry on eating afterwards, he can carry on eating if he wants. V'ein shnaim mafsikin le'echod. But if only one of them are finished, then the other two do not need to stop in the middle of their meal in order to allow that one to do Zimun. Asks the Gemara v'loi, v'har of papa ifsikle le'abe marbere v'ihu v'chad. There were three people who were eating together, Rav Papa, and Abba Mar, that was the name of his son. We know this, that his name was Abba Mori, as we say in the Hadron. So Rav Papa was eating with Abba Mori, his son, and with somebody else. And Rav Papa waited for Abba Mori together with the other person. Only Abba Mori finished the meal, and Rav Papa and the other person stopped eating in order for Abba Mori to be able to save the Zimun. Says the Gemara, Shani Rav Papa did lefnim mishur asadin hu da'ovad. Rav Papa, he went beyond the letter of the law, and he did lifnim mishur asadin to allow that one person to bench Zimun, that he shouldn't have to wait for them. Continues the Gemara. Yehuda bar Marema, Umar bar Vashi, V'ravacha medifta, these three chachomim, Korchi rifta behada adodi, they were eating a meal together. Loihava behu chad dahava muflug mechavrei levruche lehu. Neither one of them was either older or wiser than any other one. So they said as follows, Yosu v'komi boilu. They were discussing as follows, and they assumed that hadit nan, this is what we learned in our Mishnah, shloisha she'ochlu ka'achas chayovin nezamin, that when three people are eating together, they have to do zimun. Hanemili, when is that true? Heicha de'ika odom godl, when one of them is more senior or wiser than the rest. And we're going to see in the sugi later on, in Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, that it's actually the Godoil that is the one that leads the Zimun. But in this case, in the case that we're all equal, Chiluk Brochis Odif, it's better that each one makes their own brachas. And that way you have three benchings instead of just one benching. Borich Inish L'Nafshe. And therefore each one should bench on their own, and that's what they did. Also, when they came to Marema and they told him what Omaluhu, and they told him exactly what had their discussion, what their question was, and what they decided, he said to them then Marema said to them as follows, Yudei Brocha Yotzosem, you are Yotze Birchas Amozin, you each benched. Yudei Zimun Lo Yotzosem, but the mitzvah, the chiyuv of Zimun, you lost that, you should have benched Zimun. Are you going to suggest, Nihadir v'nizamin, let's say the Zimun now. We've finished benching, and now let's verbalize the fact that we all together want to praise Hashem. Says the Gemara, Ein Zimun l'mafreya. Zimun is a hakdoma, it's something you do before Birchas Hamazon that takes Birchas Hamazon to a new level. But after Birchas Hamazon, you cannot say the Zimun anymore. Continues the Gemara. But if somebody, a single person, or a person came from the shuk, umotzon, and he found three people who are in the middle of Zimun. And this is very common. For example, when you go to a chasna and you get to the chasna just when they're about to say Birchas Hamazon, you haven't eaten, you can't bench Birchas HaZimun with them, but they're all saying Zimun. how are we supposed to respond? You can't say Baruch she'ochalnu mishaloi, that or Baruch Hu, as Rashi's girsa is, she'ochalnu mishaloi, praises Hashem that we ate from Hashem. We didn't eat. We just came to say Mazel Tov. K'shehi mevarchim, he came in and he found that there were people who were benching Zimun. Ma hu oimer achareim, how do you answer in response to people benching Zimun when you yourself are not part of the Zimun? Ruzvid omar Baruch umavoyrach. Ruzvid said, you say Baruch umavoyrach. Rav Papa says, oina omen, you say omen. V'loi pligi, they're not arguing. Ha de ashkechinu de ka'omri nevorich, ha de ashkechinu de ka'omru Baruch. And the Gemara explains, Ashkechinu de ka'omru nevorich, when they say at the beginning, nevorich shechalnu mishaloi. That is the Zimun. The main part of the Zimun is let us, together as a group, praise Hashem that we've eaten from Hashem's food. What are you going to answer? Baruch shechalnu mishaloi? You can't say that. So then you should say, Baruch ha-mavayrach. Blessed he is. Oimer, Baruch ha-mavayrach. Ashkechinu de ka'omri Baruch. But if you walked in when they're saying, Baruch shechalnu mishaloi v'tuvei chayinu, in our nusach, what do you say then? Then oina omen, they've said Baruch shechalnu mishaloi, praised is Hashem that we eat from his food. Say omen as you would with another bracha. Continues the Gemara. Toni choda ha'oina omen achar berchoisov harize meshubach. We learnt in a brisa that if somebody makes a bracha and says omen after his own bracha, he's praiseworthy. It's a good thing to do. V'tani idach. In another brisa we learned, Hareza Maguna. It's inappropriate, it's bad, it's not good to say Omen after your own brachas. Loi kasha. It's not a contradiction, it goes as follows. Ha b'boine Yerushalayim, ha b'shar brachis. When you're at the end of a long set of brachas, for example, Birchas HaMozoin, where the Birchas HaMozoin mi'ikra adin min ha-Torah is only till B'nei Yerushalayim, to mark the end of a set of brachas, you can say Amen after your own bracha. But when it's a regular bracha, a single bracha that you're making, of course you should not say Amen. Abaya Oni Leiba Kolo. When Abaya came to the end of B'nei Yerushalayim, he would say the Amen on his own bracha, he would say it loud. Why? Geheicha Delishmu Upoyalim. The workers there that are being paid for their time or for their work, they're not allowed to spend any extra time doing other than working for their masters. They're being paid. So whilst you're saying Birchas HaMozen, you're not allowed to do your work. But now that you've finished the Ikar Adin of Birchas HaMozen, the Brocha V'atoiv HaMeitiv is Midrabonon. We're going to see in the Gemara when that was instituted. But it's only Midrabonon. So Abaya wanted all the Poyalim, the workers, to know that's it. You get to the end of B'nei Yerushalayim, go straight back to work and do not say the next bracha. V'likumu, in order that the workers should stand up. Why? Da'atoiv ha'meitiv la'avdei reisa, because the fourth bracha of atoiv ha'meitiv is not a chiyuv min ha'Torah, and therefore it's not enough reason for the poyalim to continue sitting there and not going back to work. Rav Ashi onu le b'lechisha. Rav Ashi made sure to say the omen quietly. Ki heicha deloina zelzelu ba'atoiv ha'meitiv. In order that these workers or other people listening should not be mezalzel, disregard the fourth bracha. The fourth bracha is a very important bracha, which the Chachamim said you have to say. It's true that workers are allowed to stop after B'nei Yerushalayim and go back to work. They have no choice. But in order that it shouldn't be a zilzel in that last bracha, he didn't say the Amen as if to publicly tell everybody, that's it, the main part of Birchas HaMozen is over, and whatever is said after this is not really important. No, it's very important, it's a chiyuv midrabanon. He said it quietly, because the halacha is that at the end of a group of brachas, you say Amen. And Rashi brings other examples where you have a group of brachas that at the end of them, a person says Amen, even to his own bracha. And in the next share, we're going to carry on from here.